it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Wisden T20 World Cup Daily Podcast. Pakistan have qualified for the T20 World Cup final after handsomely beating New Zealand at the SCG to set up a final against either England or India. I'm Yaz Rana, and with me to talk through the game is Joe Harmon and Jim Wallace. Jim, good to have you on for the first time in the tournament. Pakistan qualifying for the final almost perfectly encapsulates the tournament. They lost their first two games, had to beat South Africa. In that game, they were 43-4. They then needed Netherlands to beat South Africa to get to the semis, and now they've absolutely bossed the semi-final. They've just been box office, as they so often are in major tournaments.
Yeah, and everyone is saying, you know, it's 1992 all over again, 30 years since the final at the MCG with Imran Khan's cornered Tigers. So it could be. I mean, part of me wants it to be a England-Pakistan final, but also part of me really wants it to be an India-Pakistan final, just sort of, because the first match that they played earlier a few weeks ago was so good. And we were saying earlier that, you know, we don't normally get jealous of the people who are in the ground, but that one was particularly one that did feel a sort of pang of jealousy about. And if it is an India-Pakistan final, yeah, that would be a pretty special occasion.
Joe, in some ways, this is a vintage Pakistan World Cup. They're really unpredictable. They've got a few kids in there. But Jim and I were talking about it during the game. It's also a very new look Pakistan side that doesn't have, you know, the baggage of past failures and past scandal in as much as other Pakistan teams. Of the team that played today, only Babar, Shadab and Shaheen were at the 2019 50 over World Cup, and that's only 3 years ago. And actually, this team so early in their cycle qualifying for a World Cup final is really encouraging for Pakistan and bodes well for the future, because it is a very young side on the whole.
Yeah, Mohammed Harris doesn't look like he's carrying too much baggage, does he? What a time he's having. He's just fantastic. Yeah, and Nasim Shah as well, who hasn't really got much of a T20 record, is kind of picked on potential and clearly his raw pace. And I know he's only got a handful of wickets in this tournament, but he's been brilliant. One of the unsung heroes. Hardly gone for many runs at all, which is no mean feat when he's bowling at the pace that he is. And now you've got Shaheen Afridi sort of getting just into top gear just at the right time, reflecting his kind of side's journey. They're going to be really, really tough to beat. Because it's not clear. They obviously really enjoy chasing. And Babar and Rizwan were in their element, went hard against the Kiwis today, and it really paid off. So if you're setting a target against Pakistan, you know you're going to have to put plenty on the board, which is a tough ask against that bowling attack. Equally, if you're chasing against them, even if Pakistan gets to 150, 160, that's not going to be an easy game. So whichever way it goes, they're going to be a really tough side to beat. I'm getting the feeling, it just feels like an India-Pakistan final, back, as Jim says, back to that kind of their first games of the tournament. Hopefully England can pull off what I think would be a bit of a shock to overcome India. tomorrow.
I'm glad you mentioned Harris, because we've kind of seen him just come in and just smack it from ball one in the tournament. But today, he was a bit more measured and showed a side of him that we haven't yet seen in the tournament. And then also, he just played two amazing shots off Lockie Ferguson. It was 19 off 15. And I was thinking, you know, another dot ball here or a wicket. And then Pakistan, it's a very nervy finish. And then I think it was like a leg stump Yorker that was slightly wrong from Ferguson. He crunched the covers.
He nailed it.
Over six the next
it
ball.
It sort of traced away through. They had a great camera angle of it, sort of tracing away from through the gap, away from the fielders. Yeah.
And Jim, uncharacteristically for previous Pakistan sides, Pakistan were brilliant in the field. There's that Shadab Khan run out to get rid of Devon Conway, but equally they're really, really good at stopping twos. There's a period where New Zealand weren't really looking for boundaries and Pakistan made sure that New Zealand didn't go too quickly in that period.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's just because they've got a relatively young side and they're obviously, as you mentioned, a newish side and they're feeling very engaged and energetic, but I actually just did a piece on fielding, so I don't know, but I don't have any insights as to they don't have a particularly gun field or anything like that that often sides have that they then raise their standards around. But they just seem to be obviously they really want it, and now they've got that momentum behind them after those two losses at the start. And it seems to be, you know, everyone keeps saying it, but written in the stars that they would get to the final and at least maybe do something special.
Do you think that 140 was about par? It looked quite tacky. The pitch looked quite tacky when Pakistan were bowling, New Zealand were batting. But then it kind of looked fine when Babar and Rizwan got going.
Fine, didn't they? They were off the power play. They were basically going at 8 or 9 and over. I mean, it was a used pitch, wasn't it? There was some confusion. I saw some people saying that maybe it was or it wasn't, but it definitely was a used pitch. And but then it bounced. They seemed to be enjoying the bounce, and you know, they were sort of flat batting it away. So it felt like maybe 150, 160 would be pretty decent. Yeah.
I just thought, I mean, 152 for four in the end. When you're four wickets down, you do wonder, could they have pushed it a bit harder? And we talked on the weekly pod, the normal pod yesterday, about how good New Zealand were at reading the conditions and setting a target that's appropriate to those conditions. And I think it is tricky because they haven't got the depth of batting lineup that most other sides do. They haven't got the power hitters beneath Neesham at six. So they can't go too hard. But I don't know, it did feel like they left kind of 20 out there and that would have been a really good game. But this New Zealand side is, if you look down the lineup, it is not a gun T20 side. They work really well with what they've got, which I know is a New Zealand cliche, but it's particularly true of the T20 side. But I think a couple of the holes in their side were kind of shown up by Pakistan today.
And there were a couple of key moments that really changed the game, and two of them involved Devon Conway, the run out on the last ball, the power play, and he's a kind of guy who, if he's in for 5-6 more overs, then you'd back New Zealand to get 10-20 more runs. But then also his drop of Babar's on first ball. And you know, I'm no wicket keeping expert, but Adam Gilchrist was on commentary and he said he probably should have caught it, so I'm going to defer to Gilchrist on
he kept really bad. I mean, there was a couple of fumbles at relatively crucial moments as well. I think he's not even the second best reserve keeper in that side. Glenn Phillips is the better keeper, but I think is considered so valuable in the outfield that they want him there instead. So Conway's kind of the backup to the backup, and it showed today. And his wicket was absolutely crucial. 21 off 20 doesn't look great, but you know, if he's in for another three or four overs, then that you know, he would have started to score a bit quicker, I think. Not a great day for him. And Williamson said at the end that they just didn't play anywhere near their potential, and I think Conway kind of summed that up.
They were running singles to it. They run a couple of singles to him towards the end, didn't they? He just looked completely shot. So yeah, he didn't have a great day.
There's been quite a lot of criticism around Williamson, and I kind of want to defend him again, just because, Joe, you say that they get the best out of the players they have, and they don't have a particularly stacked batting lineup. And Finn Allen's been good at times this tournament, but even when he does well, he doesn't really face many balls. And if you've got Neesham at six, who's a specialist hitter at the death, then that's leaving a lot of overs in the middle there for only four batters, and Williamson is kind of taking the responsibility to make sure that they get to something that is near a competitive total at the very least.
Well, if you look at Williamson was dismissed with four overs to go, pretty much 117 on the boards. So actually, you know, if they have a big four overs at the end, they end up 165. then actually you could say Williamson's done his job. So yeah. this is the frustration when it comes to analysing someone like Williamson in T20, because you're so dependent on what people do after you're gone. So Neesham's 16 off 12 at the end. You know, if that's 25 off 12 and someone else has a couple of boundaries at the end, then it doesn't look such a bad innings.
Just on Darren Mitchell, his two highest scores in T20I cricket in World Cup semi-finals, which is quite handy. And on the very start of the game, kind of forgot to mention it early on, but what an entertaining first three balls. Four first ball, LBW second ball, that's overturned. Then an LBW third ball of Shaheen to Finn Allen. And then the best bit, the two umpires exchanging a fist bump after Erasmus gets the decision right.
Well, I think Erasmus did need a fist bump. That was a bit of a shocker in the first over. It's quite a clear inside edge. I think maybe he was pumping at the start there as well. It didn't matter because of the fact that Shane got him second ball anyway. Mm. But it did make me think, God, we get used to DRS. But imagine that first over of a proper game, that's a massive inside edge. I'm like, oh, on your way. That used to happen all the time. It's just terrible.
Yeah. On Babar and Rizwan, I mean, it's another 100 stand. We're kind of sick of them by now. But that's their eighth as a pair in T20 cricket. Yeah. No other opening pair has more than four. Mm-hmm. For all the criticism around their strike rates, they've won 12 out of 15 games that the pair get to the 10th over. So it's not as if that when they bat for ages, Pakistan get too bogged down and therefore lose because they're going too slowly. They are so good as a pair, and especially on pitches like that. And I think there's almost a Stokes-like quality to both of them of making sure that they do the job themselves. And there's some criticism. All these, like, actually a lot of star players in the global game get a lot of criticism in T20 cricket for almost showing that responsibility. Mm. But, you know, when it comes to these massive moments in global tournaments, it counts for something.
Absolutely. And the camera kept on panning to Williamson in the first sort of 6 to 8 overs, and he looked a bit like he was, you know, when they get going, you know, they look a bit unstoppable, and they really sort of knock the stuffing out of New Zealand in that first power play and then a bit beyond. But is the criticism basically that they hit a bit of a slump after that first six and they use up a few too many balls, and then, you know, they sort of don't close it out early enough?
Yeah, I think the criticism has been that kind of regardless who's been at the crease, Pakistan have gone quite slowly in the middle overs. Mm. And today, I think what they did really well was we saw it in the England-Sri Lanka game at Sydney, that the power play was so important that game. So Rizwan and Babar went really quickly today, but then they didn't really slow down on over 7 to 10. Yeah. So quite often they've had decent-ish power play starts.
Yeah.
And then the required run rate actually creeps up quite a lot, leaving the rest of the middle order quite a lot of work to do at the end. That didn't happen today.
And the spinners came on, so Sodhi and Santner came on, and they obviously bowl a very tight line, and so it is harder. But they, when Southie was bowling, I think he went for 14, Bolt went for an over of 13 or 14. Mm. They were just sort of lining him up and flat batting him away. So it's hard to stop that, really, when they're in that sort of form.
And I think with New Zealand, obviously every side is hunting wickets in the power play. It's key in T20 cricket, but I think it's particularly key to New Zealand when you think of the way their bowling attack is balanced. You know, Bolt and Southie generally do make early inroads, and when they don't, Santner and Sodhi are, you know, they're tidy spinners, but they're not going to tear through a side in the middle overs. What they've done really well is keep it tight after Bolt and Southie have made those early breakthroughs. Today, that didn't happen. Rizwan and Babar came out, played really aggressively, but actually, I didn't think they looked particularly like they were taking many risks. It was actually like quite proper cricket shots. We knew on that pitch from the England-Sri Lanka game as well that power play runs were going to be absolutely key, so they took advantage of that. So when the 5-6 overs were done, no wickets gone, plenty of runs on the board, the game was well and truly up by then, really. Mm. And New Zealand's attack is... Lockie Ferguson is their impact middle overs man, but there's not much else around him in the way that the other top sides in the tournament can generally call on wicket takers in the middle overs. New Zealand are quite reliant on Ferguson, who Pakistan played really well again today. So again, I just think there's not that variety. They generally just stick with those five bowlers who bowl four each. If you think England have seven or even potentially eight bowlers to call upon, New Zealand just don't have that depth. So Williamson is slightly hamstrung.
Mm. Do you reckon New Zealand could have been a bit more creative with how they use their bowlers? I mean, they got Pakistan had that really good start against the Seamers. Could they have brought on Sodhi or Santner early just to kind of mix things up a little bit? Because at that point, you know, win predicted was probably at 75-80% Pakistan.
Well, we were in the office and I was sort of saying he's got to bring on a spinner here because they were going so well. It looked like, particularly against one over against Saudi, just, you know, they were just sort of slapping him away with disdain. And I thought maybe they... what Sodhi and Santner do is bowl a very tight line. So it could have maybe added some pressure that way. But as I said, that the game seemed to have been, it looked a bit of a foregone conclusion. It did get a bit tighter towards the end. So that's why Mohammad Harris's knock was so good, because it did start to get, what did it get to, about 21 off 16 or something like that?
19 off 15.
It did. So it does show that there is that slowdown. And you know, if you do lose maybe two or three wickets then you do start to maybe choke. But... yeah, maybe Williamson did look a bit like he was out of ideas, I thought, when they were going really well. But, I mean, I guess that's what they do. They sort of put you under pressure and scramble your brain a bit.
Mm.
There might have been some discussion whether they played Michael Bracewell as well. I think Bubba's record isn't quite so good against Ospin. I hope I'm not making it up. I think I read that. And Bracewell can give it a whack down the order. And then they would have had a bit more leeway with their spin. They could have bowled some spin in the power play and still had plenty to come later on. The question is, who do you drop?
Mm.
And it's not very clear in that side who you would.
Mm.
So there's probably not much more that New Zealand could have done in terms of team selection. They just didn't really turn up on the day.
Mm. Pakistan will face one of England or India in the final. Joe, you've already said that you think it's going to be India.
I'm leaning that
Did
way.
Did he say that?
Well, so I'm sort of leaning that way. Obviously, I hope England get to a World Cup final, but it just feels a bit like it's kind of written in stars. But I guess it depends which stars you're reading, because there's lots of messages apparently that we could be drawing upon.
Yeah.
I now fancy Pakistan to win it, whoever they play. Actually, maybe it'll feel differently after India absolutely trounce England tomorrow. But it is starting to feel that way.
But I said before we started recording that if the pitches are going to be like this, it shouldn't be all doom and gloom for England, because they just played a series in seven matches in Pakistan. Then, Joe, you made the point, it's a very different team.
Yeah, in theory, it's a weaker team, but it was a different team that was quite suited to those conditions. Ben Duckett played an absolute blinder out there. Really good player of spin. He's not in the England side this time. Not that England don't have plenty of great batting options, but it is a different lineup to the one that beat them out there.
Mm.
And you were saying Brook, there is some, that role is quite interesting, because he doesn't have a particularly great record in Australia. But if it looks a bouncy sort of true wicket, then he can just play his normal game.
Well, his record in Australia is really bad. So he had an amazing PSL last year, but just before it, he had a very bad BBL, and BBL is generally considered to be a slightly weaker league. He did, again, really well in Pakistan this winter. But then since he's come to Australia, I think he had one quite good game against Australia in the kind of the warm-up series.
Mm.
But since then, it's not gone as well. But if the pitches are like what we had today, I think he comes into it more, because he kind of saw with Rizwan and Babar, like, they were much more confident playing their sweeps against the spinners. And if you can play your cross bat shots with a more confident fashion, and I think he comes into it more. And also, he might be a position higher, or he might come in earlier without Milan in the side. So his role is going to be slightly different to what we've had so far. How do you see the semi-final tomorrow?
I've sort of said that I don't fancy England all the way through, so I'm not going to change that now. That they looked nervous to me against Sri Lanka, and I think they've got a couple of injuries. Wood might be injured, and Milan obviously.
That's massive. We don't know on that one. Milan looks doubtful. Wood seems to be... I don't know. It's hard to tell from the noise from the England camp, but that would be a huge loss.
Yeah. And obviously India are so good, and Kohli's back in form, and you know, and they've got Yadav, and I think I fancy that they're too strong, and I do fancy the narrative of an India-Pakistan World Cup final at the MCG for the atmosphere and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I would like England to win, but I sort of with Joe, I don't think they will do.
Well, we'll find out.
Hang on. I didn't quite say that. I said I made India a marginal favourite. Yeah.
You were reading the stars.
I was reading the stars. I think a battle to look out for, I was just reading this morning, with Neshwar Kumar's got a phenomenal record against Butler, which will be the first over of the innings. That is huge. You know, if India can get rid of Butler in the first over, England's chances of winning decrease massively.
Mm.
Equally, if Butler can overcome Bhuvneshwar, win that battle that he's lost in the past, get through that first five overs, then England could set India an enormous target or chase down pretty much anything. So that's definitely a battle to look out for.
I quite liked what Ben said a couple of days ago in a way to kind of preserve your respect with predictions in T20 cricket, to say it's 60-40 in every T20 game. So
and it can come down to the smallest thing or whatever. Mm. But if you go with the general, I mean, I'd be interested in what you two think. I don't think England have been that. They've not been that strong in this World Cup. It feels like they've the one game against. I think they were probably lucky to get away with the Australia game because that would have been, I don't know about that one. But
New Zealand was very much in the balance, ended up looking like quite a comfortable win, but with five overs to go, it didn't feel at all comfortable.
And it felt the Sri Lanka one when they started losing quite a flurry of wickets, it felt like they just stumbled over the line in the end. But maybe they'll someone will do something incredible. But that's the thing with T20 is it only really needs one person to have a...
Yeah, I kind of think like you've got the best two batters in the world in Butler and Skye. If one of them has a really good day, their team wins. Like, it can be as simple as that.
Yeah.
We'll be back with our next daily show as soon as that semi-final has happened. Cheers, Joe. Cheers, Jim. And thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.